MZTV.
For the premonition of the creation, Romans 8:19, concordant literal New Testament. For the premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. Except for Clyde Pilkington, Steve Martin, Dean Wilkinson, Chris Carnahan, and anyone else who, any other of the creation, who has bought into Clyde Pilkington's lie that everyone in the body of Christ must die. Welcome to MZTV. I am Martin Zender, coming out of the gates, shooting from both barrels today. Well, the creation is not stupid. That's why they are awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. They're awaiting it. They have a premonition. Premonition in the Greek means an intuitive opinion. All of creation, and you have to take this literally. Anything that can be waiting for something, like your dog waits for you to come home. Your cat waits for you to come home. The house fly waits for you to slap it, and then it takes off. The sentient creation, obviously, is what is being spoken of here. Anything that can have a premonition. So we're not talking about a rock. The premonition of the creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. Why? Because of what I told you yesterday and have been telling you for 33 years. Because creation itself is aware that we are the catalyst. We're what kickstarts, I think it's fair to be able to say that. I thought of that today. Kickstart, why didn't I say that before? We are what kickstarts the salvation of all, the reconciliation of all creation back to God. We kickstart it, and creation realizes that. There's a premonition of sentient creatures that is awaiting. I mean, this is scripture. And I often said this, your dog knows more about you than your grandmother. Your cat knows more about you than your husband or your ex-husband, whatever the case may be. The creation is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God, and they're not stupid, so they expect it to happen anytime. Why would you be waiting for something that would be impossible to happen? Let me go up to verse 18. For I am reckoning that the sufferings of the current era, this is a previous verse, I'm reckoning that the sufferings of the current era do not deserve the glory about to be revealed for us. Well, Martin, this verse just mocks your teaching that the snatching away could happen. I am relating the unveiling of the sons of God to the snatching away. When we are snatched away, we are unveiled to the celestial creation, and the creation on earth will soon be hearing from us. So, Martin, Paul says, the glory about to be revealed for us. And yet it's been 2,000 years since Paul wrote that. Completely irrelevant. I don't care if it's been 2 million years since Paul wrote that. The people of his day were to expect the glory of God about to be revealed. It's about to happen. The first century saints looked at each other and said, this thing's about to happen, just like we did. Oh, Martin, that's depressing. No, it's not. Because God has put it in our own breast to expect ourselves, we, the members of the body of Christ, the sons of God, to expect ourselves to be unveiled. But before we can be unveiled to the celestial world, before we can be unveiled, a la Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, whenever Christ, our life, should be manifested, then you also shall be manifested together with him in glory. For that to happen, we have to go to glory. We have to be snatched away. That's the process. We're snatched away alive, according to Paul, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. We're snatched away alive, those of us who are remaining to the coming of the Lord, very clearly worded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We will be manifested together after we're snatched away with Christ in glory. And this is about to be revealed for us. The glory is about to be revealed for us. And this is how we're always to think of it. Now, I cut the time of the snatching away from 2.5 minutes from now to 1.25 minutes from now. 1.25. 1 minute and 15 seconds. I'm looking for it. But Martin, you're disappointed so many times every day. That's right. But then, as soon as that disappointment, it lasts only for 1 second. And then I'm immediately looking for the next 1.25 minutes. You see how that works? It's a constant expectation. And so I am saying to you, by the word of the Lord, that the creation is awaiting our unveiling. Because they know instinctively, the creation knows instinctively that we are what is keeping them from being delivered from this slavery to corruption. Let me finish reading this. For the premonition of the creation, except for Clyde Pilkington, Steve Martin, Dean Wilkinson, Chris Carnahan, and anyone else who's bought into Clyde Pilkington's false teaching, is awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. For to vanity, verse 20, was the creation subjected, not voluntarily, but because of him who subjects it, in expectation. Here we go again with that. What is the expectation? Verse 21, that the creation itself, the creation knows this, the creation itself, following our manifestation, following our snatching away and our manifestation and our glory, the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption. We're freed first, then they are freed, not instantly after us, but down the road. But we have to happen before they happen. Just like the tribulation has to happen before the kingdom happens. Just like the crucifixion has to happen before the resurrection happens. Just like the disruption of the world has to happen before the Spirit of God vibrates upon the waters. You see, just because mortality, just like mortality has to happen before immortality, certain things come first. We are the next big thing on God's Aeonian calendar, and the creation knows this. The gentlemen I've just mentioned don't know that. Because they've bought into a lie. I'm going to get back to that. That every member of the body of Christ is going to die. Mr. Pilkington wrote a book about it. Have I told you this? He has written a book telling you that he guarantees by twisting scripture to convince you of it, that you are going to die. There's no chance that you're going to be snatched away. There's no chance that in your lifetime, you are going to be snatched away, that you are going to cheat death, that you will be one of the ones alive. That's the expectation that has been put in us. That's the very expectation of creation. So creation itself is smarter than Clyde's book. I'm going to go to Clyde's book and I'm going to read you the description about the book, and you will barely be able to believe it. But this is what you have to look forward to if you go to this book. And if you come under the tutelage of Mr. Pilkington, you will soon give up on the expectation that you will die, on the expectation that you will not die. You will learn to accept the fact that you will die, and you will be taught by this strange teaching, this false teaching. You will be taught. And Steve Martin said it all. You will be taught to think of death as beautiful. You will come to terms with the inevitability of you will die. It's inevitable. And Clyde mistranslates, misquotes Satan, mistranslates 1 Corinthians 15, does everything he can to twist the word of God. It really upsets me. To twist the word of God. It's so obvious to me, and I think it's obvious to him, and I think he's doing it on purpose, and it is disgusting. It's despicable. I'm sorry. I've been too easy on Mr. Pilkington. This teaching is diabolical, and he has bought in, as I told you, to the Otis Sellers teaching, that, and this is what allows Clyde to twist other scriptures. Otis Sellers was a teacher, a guy who believes in eternal torment, free will, and the Trinity. The guy who believes all these false teachings, and he invented a teaching that there is going to be a pre-Israelite kingdom lasting 500 years before the millennium. This allows for the body of Christ to no longer exist. According to Mr. Pilkington, the body of Christ must be gone from the earth before this pre-millennium millennium. How convenient is that? You have a 500-year period where the body of Christ can't exist. All in order to get you comfortable with the idea with death, because death suits the hell out of these people I mentioned. Death suits them. Steve Martin is the one that said, most of us think it would be beautiful to die in front of our grandchildren. He called it beautiful. This is the kind of brainwashing that will happen to you if you go anywhere near this false teaching. Dean Wilkinson, my longtime friend who used to look forward to the snatching away, told me on the phone that he was now at peace with dying. It gave him great peace to know that he would die. This is what will happen to you if you become infected. Thank God it's not spreading like gangrene, but maybe it is. I don't know. I'm trying to stop it. That's why I keep talking about it. See, I'm going to stop talking about it, but I have a new angle here that disproves it. The creation itself disproves it. God built it into the creation to be awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. The creation is not stupid. And you would not wait for something that would be impossible for it to happen. Jesus told his disciples, wait and watch. Why would he tell them something, to do something that doesn't even have the possibility of happening? Now, I'm not sitting here guaranteeing that we are the generation that shall not see death, that we are the ones who shall remain alive, who shall be remaining alive when Christ returns. I believe we are with all my heart because of prophecy. And Clyde, by the way, also doesn't believe that any prophecy is being fulfilled today. That is one of his sects. No prophecy being fulfilled today. That's another thing you have to get rid of in order to embrace this death is beautiful teaching. I'm going to start calling it that. Thank you, Steve Martin. Death is beautiful. Steve Martin said it. I quoted it 2 weeks ago. Go to my past shows. Death is beautiful. You'll find it in the title. You'll find that death is beautiful in the title of the show where I exposed this heinous teaching. And the creation is smart. They are awaiting, the creation is awaiting it. Now, I wondered, what is the lifespan of a ladybug? Now, I wonder this because creation is every sentient being. So even ladybugs are awaiting. It's in them. The premonition of the creation is awaiting. It is intuitively part of the ladybug's disposition. This is scripture. It is part of the ladybug's intuitive instinct. There might be a redundancy there, intuitive instinct. I'm sorry if it is. I like it. It sounds good to me. I want to be redundant. It's part of its intuitive instinct to await, to be awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. Now, the lifespan of a ladybug is 2 to 3 years. So there has to be, for this scripture to not be stupid, for the ladybug not to be stupid, and I say that there's a greater possibility that certain human beings are stupid than a ladybug. I know certain human beings who are stupider than ladybugs and who don't have a premonition. They're not awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God because they've been told that it is impossible to happen in their lifetime. Why would I tell you to wait for something that would be impossible to happen in your lifetime? No, it does. It makes no sense. So the ladybug has to have this intuition that, well, it's got to happen within at least 3 years. I ain't going to be alive over 3 years. This thing's going to happen before that. I put the snatch. I know Martin Zander says 1.25 minutes. Yeah, I know he updated it, but if you ask me, this is a ladybug. There are men ladybugs. They're not happy with the name of their species, ladybugs. They've protested for years. Can't we call them like just bugs? Can't we just be called bugs, spotted bugs? Why do we have to call ladybugs? I ain't no lady. But anyways, I know I'm only going to live 3 years at the most. But God put in me this premonition. I don't know, man. I just think. Every time I wake up, every time I buzz around, I got this. Every time I chew on a blade of grass, I got this feeling. I can't even explain it to you very good. But I got this feeling that something big's going to happen with these tall beings here. What you call your human beings, that something's going to happen with them is going to affect me. That I'm going to be freed from this ladybug bullshit I got captured in. I don't know, I was just born into it. Can't be more than 3 years off. Because there's some good, reliable stories in our communities. We don't live but 3 years. And them are the good ones. Them are the ones who's just careful, taking care of themselves, living healthy lives. This thing's got to happen within 3 years. That's my premonition. Got to put that in me. Now, that ladybug could die. What you say? No, never mind. Don't listen to me. It's possible that the ladybug could die tomorrow. Why are you talking like that? No, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were still listening. Sorry. Or we could die tomorrow. I could die tomorrow. You could die tomorrow. But it doesn't mean that we're stupid for waiting. Yet Mr. Pilkington has told us, and I have quoted it, that you're wasting your time to wait, to be waiting. He honestly believes that you're wasting your time to be waiting for the return of Christ, because his doctrine is his teaching, and this is one of his 14 sects that he supports and forwards, that there must be this 500-year premillennial Israel kingdom where no members of the body of Christ exist on the earth, and therefore they must die. You must die. That's the man's teaching. You must die. Oh, I thought I'd give a great example on Cat Show. I'm going to publish the greatest hits from that show. I think it was Coon Coon, again, talked about the disappointment of 1.5 minutes going, or 1.25 minutes going by and being not snatched away. And I gave an example. If you didn't hear it, oh, God help you. But I'm going to share it with you here today on MZTV. I said, what if you were in jail for something you didn't do? You were in jail for a triple murder, let's say, and you had three consecutive life sentences. Okay. And you knew they just threw away the key. And you knew you were going to live the rest of your life in prison, and you're only like 30 years old, let's say, maybe 20. How would you feel living every day knowing that the key is thrown away, nobody's thinking about you, nobody's fighting for you, there's no possibility that you're going to get out of this prison cell for the rest of your life? What is the difference between that person and someone, say, who has a really good lawyer? And the lawyer comes in every day and says, hey, we are working on this case. We're going to exonerate you. We really think we have the evidence. The case is looking good. We don't know when exactly it's going to happen. Don't worry. We are fighting for you. We have a great case. And just hang tight. Hang tight. Are you telling me there's no difference between how the days pass? Are you telling me there's no difference between the mental health of the first scenario and the second scenario? It's called expect-freaking-tation. Expectation. To vanity was a creation subjected not voluntarily, but because of him who subjects it in expectation. In the second scenario, the prisoner is expecting that good things are going to happen. There's a chance. There's the hope. There's the expectation. We have an expectation. We're supposed to be thinking it can happen any moment. That's part of our expectation. And it doesn't mean that when it doesn't happen, we give up on it. We don't mock it like the scoffers do. Like Clyde Pilkington does and all the others in that group. They mock it. They make fun of us because we're waiting. And they better be starting making fun of the ladybug. Yeah, you tell them, brother. They better be starting making fun of all of creation that has a premonition and is awaiting. Clyde would tell the ladybug, you're wasting your time to be waiting for Christ. Don't listen to Martin Sutter. How about listen to the Apostle Paul? Creation is not stupid. They're smarter than the men I mentioned. The ladybugs are smarter than the men I mentioned because they have not given up their expectation. Nobody's talked them out. They can't be talked out of their expectation by some stupid teaching that's unscriptural, because they have a scriptural expectation themselves. They have a scriptural premonition running through their bodies that this thing's going to happen, that the creation itself shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now let's talk about the housefly.
You gonna talk about me now?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about you now.
Oh, no.
What's your lifespan?
I don't want to tell you. I'm embarrassed.
You sound like the ladybug should sound like.
Well, you don't know very much about creation.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I kind of have you stereotyped. I figured the ladybug would talk
like you.
And I figured you would talk like
me. Well, I guess you don't know nothing.
Oh, no. Okay. Your lifespan is 15 to 30 days.
How do you have to put it like that?
Well, that's just for, well, the lifespan is 28 days for a high-temperature, low-activity adult male. Are you a high-temperature, low-activity adult male?
Yeah, you got me pegged. That's exactly what I am.
How many days have you been alive?
Oh, let me check. I've been alive 20 days.
Oh, God. So, in the best-case scenario, you have 8 days left.
That's right. But I still got this thing running through my running through my wings, through my antenna, through my multifaceted eyeballs.
What is it? Can you explain it?
I don't know. It's just kind of this, hard to know how to explain it, kind of this premonition.
Can I take a guess at what it might be?
Yeah, you can try. I don't see how you're going to get it. What
is it? Is it like, does it have something to do with, like, you being freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God?
Oh my God, that's exactly right.
I knew it.
You're amazing.
No, I just believe the scriptures. I just believe the scriptures. So even the housefly, with a lifespan of 28 days, on a good day, if you're a male, a hot weather, low activity male,
yeah, I'm kind of lazy.
It's a good thing. Don't be buzzing around too much.
Yeah, I got a cousin that buzzed around a lot.
What happened to him?
He only lived 15 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but he had the same thing. He had the same expectation. I talked to him about it.
So it must be possible that it could happen.
Yeah, or else we wouldn't have it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah, same thing. Oh, my God. So even the housefly with a 15 to 30 day lifespan has a premonition and is awaiting, actively awaiting. It's very rare that we're actually hearing from this creation on this show. It's an amazing show today. We actually hear from this sentient creation that's awaiting the unveiling of the sons of God. They're not stupid. Let me read to you, speaking of stupid, the description from Clyde Pilkington's book. I'm not saying Clyde Pilkington is stupid. He's not, but this book is stupid. The name of the book is Will We Escape Death? By Clyde Pilkington Jr. I'm at pilkingtonandsons.com. The plight of humanity is mortality and death. In every age, the believer's hope has always been resurrection from the dead and the glory which lays beyond. We have a prior expectation. We have a glory that's about to be revealed. And that's the way we're to think of it, as it's about to happen. It's about to happen. And see, it doesn't matter to us if it hasn't happened. It's still about to happen. That's the key. Let me read on here. It was Satan, says Mr. Pilkington, or whoever is writing this advertisement for the book, Will We Escape Death? It was Satan who first introduced the idea, thou shalt not surely die. Satan didn't say that. This is a misquotation from the King James Version, which Clyde does all the time when he wants to get you to believe what he believes. He will misquote scripture, consciously misquote scripture. That was not the first lie of Satan. Satan did not say, thou shalt not surely die. And you know what Clyde also does? He also misquotes. I'm going to get to the right quote for you soon there, but he also misquotes 1 Corinthians 15:22 from the Concordant Version. Even as in Adam, all are dying, in the process of dying, otherwise known as mortality. Even as in Adam, all are dying, it's the incomplete verb form, which is clearly seen in the Greek, and it's the beauty of the Concordant Version. Even as in Adam, all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Do you know what Clyde does in this book? Because I looked at the passages from this book. He quotes from the King James Version. Clyde knows that the Concordant Version is the right translation. But he quotes from the King James, as an Adam, all die. This proves that everyone must die. He quotes from the King James, as an Adam, all die. But the King James misses the incomplete verb form, puts it in a complete verb form. And he knows he's doing that. That's what upsets me. That's what upsets me. The serpent said to the woman, this is what the serpent said to the woman in Genesis 3, 4. The serpent said, not to die shall you be dying. Not to die shall you be dying. Because what God said to the serpent, what God said to Adam and Eve, on the day you eat of that fruit, to die, you shall be dying. In other words, to die, eventually you will start upon this process of dying. There we go with the incomplete verb form again. But the serpent said to the woman, not to die shall you be dying. But Clyde again misquotes that you shall not die. Misquotes. Misquotes it to defend a destructive teaching. And then Clyde says this, get ready. You're not ready for this, but I'm going to read it to you. So what makes anyone think that Satan was right, that we are actually not going to die? What makes anyone think that we're actually not going to die? I don't know. Maybe 1 Corinthians 15:51, which says we shall not all be put to repose. And maybe 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which says that we, the living, who are remaining to the coming of the Lord. My God, there it is in two places. What makes someone expect? What makes someone expect that of all people who have ever lived before them, they will somehow be the ones who will escape death? 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's what. But he says the answer in one word, tradition. It's tradition that makes you think that. No, it's not. It's the freaking scriptures, Clyde. By some wacko tradition, it's you who are teaching against the scriptures. And you're mocking anyone who thinks that they're not going to die. Who do you think you are? What makes you think that Satan was right? And you misquote Satan. You misquote Satan. We're not saying Satan was right. What I am saying is you're misquoting him. And it's the scripture that gives me the expectation that I could be of the generation that will not die. This is intolerable. And I live to expose it.